Ladies and gentlemen, we're starting a little late here on All Things Sports, but rest assured we're here. We're strong. We're feeling good. Mr. Miller, however, is not feeling so good. His Lions took one on the chin last night. However, I'm sporting my fresh to death the Richard Dent throwback jersey for all you Bear fans. Just to show Mr. Miller, who forked us a few weeks ago, we're still alive. We're going to talk everything NFL this week. Probably mostly NFL, no college to talk about, a little baseball, a few trades, a few moves. We'll talk about get you ready for the upcoming season. Since we did not, since we started about 3 minutes late, let's just jump right into it. Last night, Monday night, the Lions took one on the chin. Now they actually need at least one Chicago loss or one Green Bay loss. If Green Bay and Chicago both win this week, the Lions are mathematically eliminated in week 15. So they went from the penthouse to the outhouse in 1 week. Mr. Miller, your thoughts?
Well, I noticed that it felt pretty good for you to say that. I'm glad you looked at your stats there. And then to all the people out there listening, if you could see this Richard Dent jersey, it's still covered in dust, but I'm surprised that this guy even wore it. But, Lions – not looking good. Jim Schwartz went kind of just like the team. He went from being maybe secure, or even though I had mentioned he was on the hot seat, to he's on the hot seat. And I think, we're on the outside looking in. I know Aaron Rodgers is coming back. I think it's the Bears' division to win, and I think if the Bears aren't able to get it, I think the Lions could still possibly win out, and then if the Bears slip up, then we can take a spot. And I think the Bears schedule is tough. I mean, you guys play the Eagles this week, and then you got the Packers finish out. So, I have a lot of hope. I think the Lions still have a chance, but it's not looking great. So, Stafford looked bad. I would go into that. His mechanics looked bad, and I blame that on coaching, because I think if he was being coached better, I think his footwork and his mechanics would be better. And, that also raises the debate of nature versus nurture in the NFL, and if with Stafford, if he went somewhere else, would he look like this? Because I think there's so much talent there, and it's tough to watch the Lions fans to watch him get worse as the season goes on. And some of that has to fall on the player. I understand that, but at the same time. As a Lions fan, I'm just disappointed. That was a must-win game for us. Big favorites in Las Vegas. Home game Monday night. Blew out with the crowd. It was time to show up. It was Schwartz and having ready to go, and it didn't seem like he did. So that's my take on that. I'm going to wait and see. I'm not going to say that we're dead, but it's looking that way. And if we don't make the playoffs, if the Bears went out, if the Packers went out, Schwartz is on. I don't think that's debatable. He's had a chance. He's, give or take a few games, he's about 29 and 49 or something like that. Well, in his time in Detroit, and with as much talent as he has there, it should be better. He's a defensive guy, and really was a struggle to know on offense, but get him out. So that's my opinion.
I agree. We're talking off air a little bit before the show. I think he is responsible for the culture change in Detroit. They're a little more, they're probably a little nastier team, and they probably needed to be there, a little meat, kind of a lay-down team before that. So he changed that culture. He made them more physical, more nasty. They're a better football team. However, he just might not be the coach that's going to take them to the next level. They seem to be stuck at a level right here where they should be better, and once again, they're probably going to be 9-7, 8-8. With the talent they have, there should be at least 11-5 football team, and he just might be an 8-8, 9-7 kind of guy.
So. Right. He's also responsible for them being undisciplined and for the assistant coaches he's hired. I don't think, Scott Linehan's been there a long time on the offensive side of the ball, and I really don't think he's a good match for Matthew Stafford. Even though Stafford shows signs of greatness, I think, as the number one pick, and I think with the talent he possesses, he shouldn't be throwing sidearm. He shouldn't be in there with happy feet in the first quarter. I don't want to take all that off Stafford. But I am putting on the coaches because they've had the time to – I think if he was a better coach, he wouldn't be doing that. So that's where I'm at there.
All right. Real quick, I want to give you the number if there's any.
Let's not talk about that, but I'm going to say that.
If there's any Cowboy fans out there listening, I really want to know what you guys think about the debacle that is the Cowboys. I'm using the word debacle a lot today. The Lions were a debacle. The Cowboys were a super debacle. So if there's any Cowboy fans out there, let me get a number. It's 718-766-4553. If you're listening to us live, call in. I'm curious to know what you thought about the second half. But let's get into the second half of the Cowboys game. Jason Garrett, I think he signed a death certificate this week. There's no way. Well, I guess me personally, even if they make the playoffs, I think he should go. However, you know, you never know with Jerry Jones. But I think that the way they played in that second half, the fact that they had a 23-point lead, the fact that they ran the ball seven times in the second half when in the first half, DeMarco Murray was averaging 8 yards a carry, and you completely abandoned the running game with the lead in the fourth quarter. There's no excuse for that. And then you go in a press conference and you kind of throw your quarterback under the bus, and a run play was called on the interception. And Tony Romo kind of checked out. So I think there's no way he keeps his job. You can't fire the quarterback. What do you think, man? I mean, he's got to go, right?
You know what, I'm with you. I think he's the offensive coordinator there. I don't even really consider Jason Garrett to be the head coach. I think the head coach is Jerry Jones. I think he's gone. I think he's fired as an offensive coordinator. And, you know, I hadn't heard that about the press conference. That was news to me. But, I mean, what could Tony Romo be thinking there? Because on that on the play where he threw the interception, it's second down. It's under 4 minutes. It's possibly under 3 minutes. Green Bay has one timeout. If you run the ball there, they're going to have to take the last timeout or the clock's going to run down close to the 2 minute warning, so
all the quarterback,
he shouldn't even have the option to check out.
I agree. All the quarterbacks, if you watch enough TV, you hear Jaworski and Hasselbeck, all the quarterback apologists is what I call them, talk about how the box was loaded. You know, he made the right check. You know, however, you know, it just didn't work out. He threw a bad pass. You know, whatever.
Right, the box is loaded 100% of the time.
I don't want to hear any of that. Like, yeah, if it's under 2 minutes and the box is loaded, we all know you run the ball, you make them use their timeouts, you punt it away, you play defense. And then when they got the ball back, I think it was 36-31, they're still up by five, they're out of timeouts. You keep running the football, you make them use their, you know, they don't have any more timeouts, you run the clock down to 2 minutes, and then you punt. I mean, granted, that defense is horrible, so maybe you think you have to get first downs, but you got to run the ball. You got to run the clock. You got to play the percentages there. And if you lose playing the percentages, well, oh, so be it. But you basically just handed them 2.5 minutes to go down the field and win the game on you with a defense that's horrible. That might have been the worst clock management I've seen that I can think of in recent years by the Cowboys this week. So. He should be fired. He should have been fired last year. And granted, let me ask you this:
I don't think that many people want to work for Jerry Jones. I think that's where that comes from. I think that's why he kept him, because I think he's a great puppet for Jerry Jones. I think he just calls the offense, and Jerry can do all the player personnel decisions and kind of run things from above. And Jason Garrett, you know, he's been in that organization for about 20 years, and I think that's somebody that, you know, Jerry trusts, and Jerry knows will kind of let him walk all over the head coach. And, you know, that's why Jimmy Johnson quit 20 years ago, and I think that's going to be a problem going forward. I don't think a big name, a John Gruden, I don't think a big name takes that job. I think Bill Parcells learned the hard way.
I think that's why Parcells didn't end up leaving that job, because he couldn't work for Jerry Jones.
Right, so I think if I'm a Cowboy fan, I really don't see an end until Jerry Jones is, not to sound harsh, but until his death. I don't think we're going to see, just like with the Oakland Raiders, I think somebody that's in complete control like that, that's the thing that was the thing of the past. And with 32 teams, the talent being a little bit more spread out, and you know, just you can't call the shots as an owner. He doesn't have the scouting capabilities that he would need to run that job. So, Dallas fans, you know, if you think something different, then, you know, let me know. But that looks like a bad situation. It's not going to get better. There's not a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. I really don't expect it to be tied down the stretch. The NFC kind of looks like it's NFC West of a few years ago. It looked like an 8-8 team was probably going to finish first in that division. And I really don't think it's going to be Dallas if Dallas gets to the playoffs. That's
the Eagles kind of helped them out this week by coming back to the pack a little bit.
They're not good either. They have defensive problems as well.
They're not good. This
is a bad division.
It's a bad division. The NFC North is not a great division. I think the one thing that makes me more upset about that game is now you're hearing all the Green Bay people who've been asleep for the last 2 weeks. They're talking about, you know, Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be coming back here. And truth be told, if they went out to play the Bears the last game of the season, if they went out, they're in now. And I hate Green Bay. I hate Green Bay fans. They were asleep for like the last few weeks. I kind of wanted to leave them sleeping, and you know, now the Lions. I hate the Lions, but I hate Green Bay way more. So if somebody had to get in instead of us, I'd rather it be the Lions. But however, we control that. So if we beat them in the last game of the year, we're in. So.
All right, and go ahead and give us a little analysis on that Chicago game. You had Cutler come back. I know some of the popular sentiment was for McCown to stay in. That wasn't a game I had a chance to really watch much of, but what did you think there? Was that the right decision to Cutler? I heard Alshon Jeffery talking today, and he said Cutler gives them a chance to take a lot more chances. They're willing to go more downfield, and it seems like the receivers want to play with Cutler. Do you think, after having watched last week, do you think that was the right decision?
The offense looked horrible in the first half, but and as much as I hate to agree with Brian Billick, this is probably true. He made a comment, and I hadn't really noticed this, but the emergence of Alshon Jeffery as a big-time receiver kind of happened when McCown took over. And it's because if you watch the first half, Jay Cutler does kind of have this weird thing with Brandon Marshall where he throws the ball to Brandon Marshall a lot. I think Brandon Marshall had something like 9 targets out of 14 passes in the first half. You can't play like that. Jeffery's too good to be shut out of the offense like that. And in the second half, they started to spread the ball around a little bit more. Bennett got involved. Alshon Jeffery got involved, and the offense looked better. But as long as Cutler does what McCown does, spread the ball around, I think the Bears' weapons are second to none. Forte coming out of the backfield ran for 127. Jeffery and Marshall, two big wide receivers with speed. Bennett in the middle, I think that offensively, that team could be really good if Cutler, just like I said, doesn't get too fixated on Brandon Marshall.
Do you think that translates into a win at Philly?
I think that's a winnable game. I think Philly's defense kind of
they're bad in the secondary, so really you're going to
be against. Yeah, I think they're bad in the secondary. However, we are too. So, question is, can we win a shootout? Yeah, I think we can win a shootout. However, you know, Cutler threw 2 picks in that game. He's still prone to the big mistake. And he threw one of those picks in the end zone. So I think that game between Philly is going to boil down to which quarterback doesn't throw interceptions. And if it's – or which quarterback throws a huge amount of interceptions. If it's Cutler, we win. If it's Foles, they win. That's what I think about that game. What do you got? What do you think?
I really, like I said, you kind of covered it. I think it's a strength versus weakness matchup for their receivers going up against Philly. And I think I like Chicago going into that game. I wouldn't be, you know, it's 2 evenly matched teams. I wouldn't be shocked if Philly won, but if I had to put my chips down, I would think Chicago was going to win that one. So,
what do you think about the moving games? What do you think about the Shanahan going for 2?
Well, the other week I had said that I like Brady Hoke doing it. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it's what are they playing for at that point? I don't know. I like it. I'm a gambler, so I like it. You can debate it. I mean, you can sit here and you can talk about percentages and chances and is it the right thing. I think it's something you do on film, and I think if he felt it, you know, go ahead and go for it.
Right.
You know, you call the right play and you win the game. But you know, I guess. Since we've seen that, the people are 0-2 going for it. And so, you know, who knows? It's like, kind of like crapping out. But, hey, I like it. He obviously wants out of there. I mean, we kind of discussed the situation in depth last week. There's so many things at play there.
He said publicly that he wants to come back, and he's willing to let his son leave. Like, his son said he wants to strike out on his own without his dad, so he can kind of get a rep without his dad. Do you think there's any chance whatsoever he comes back?
Any chance whatsoever, yeah. I'm putting I'm going 15% chance he'll come back. But
15, that's it?
So yeah, I think he's gone.
I think he's gone.
Yeah, I'm forking Shanahan. I definitely think he's gone.
I can't see any way he survives that either, so I agree. Moving on to another game, my man last week was, I feel like everyone in Cincinnati hates you. Every week, every time you fight the Bengals, they lay an egg. This week included, that game was pretty much over in the first half. Did you get to watch any of that?
Yeah, you know what, I watched a lot of that game, and I was pretty shocked by that. I mean, they're a better team. I know it was cold. I know they were playing on the road, but they got out physical from the start. It looked like Pittsburgh was the team that was playing for something, and it looked like Cincinnati was the team that was, a season to come to an end. So I was surprised by it, but that's Cincinnati. You know, they're probably not the most mentally strong team. Going on the road like that and without a lot to play for, you know, a team that's led maybe by a better leader. Tom Brady's team probably doesn't come out and lay an egg like that, but at the same time, it was a game that didn't have a lot on it. So that doesn't deter me from where I was last week, I think.
They've got to come back to the pack a little bit, though. Now, I think if they have one more game against the Ravens, the Ravens win that game, they're in the driver's seat in that division. They could actually them and the Saints this week actually put themselves in a position to actually lose those divisions.
What's the
Ravens are now 8-6 and they're 9-5.
They're not 10-4?
No, they're 9-5. I'll have to double check my numbers, but I'm pretty sure they're 9-5.
Oh, I think they're 10-4, so you're gonna have to check that break.
I think you're wrong.
I can't buy that. I think they're 10-4. I think they had a chance. I think that's why I was so disappointing. I think they had a chance to tie New England for the second seed, which would have been real helpful. We all know that you get a bye with the second seed as opposed to a 4 or 5 seed. So, a little disappointed, but I'm not shaking. What about you and your Saints? I mean, they laid even a bigger egg on the road at the Rams. So, what do you attribute that to?
They're my Saints.
Well, you had them. What do you got them? You had them number 2 in the NFC.
Did I have number 2?
I think you got them number 2. I told you Niners were
right. Yeah, I did. You're right.
I just see Niners going in there and beating them. I just think
you're right.
They may be a little overrated. So,
I mean, don't get me wrong. They did lay a bigger egg, and if they lose to Carolina this week, they don't win that division. So, a lot of teams, in games where they had a chance to. We talked about the Broncos. They had a chance to. Cincinnati's 9-5.
Come on, man.
I'm looking at it right here. But the Broncos had a chance to put the AFC away. They lost. Then the Patriots had a chance to take over the AFC, and they lost.
Well, and for people that have been watching sports for a long time, that's how it always goes at this time in the NFL. That's why you can't make money betting NFL, because it's really so unpredictable.
Are you still holding fast to San Diego getting that last spot?
I want that just from a fan perspective, and then I'm holding to that just because that's what I've been saying. I really do think they're going to win out. I said that last week. I see them winning out, and I still see that. Also, just a little plug for myself. I picked San Diego outright last week in both of my pools that I'm in, and out of 37 people, I was the only one. So, that shows my expertise a little bit there.
Did you win any money?
You know what? I needed Detroit to win last night to win the money, and
we know how that went.
So.
We know that didn't happen.
Baltimore cost me, but I think they. I don't know. I mean, now with Miami having beaten the Patriots this week, their schedule was real nice too. So it's going to be hard for them to catch Miami. They lost to Miami heads up, so
right.
It doesn't look good. I think San Diego is going to win out. Does that translate to a playoff spot? It might not.
Well, you're right. It depends on really. I think the only 3 teams with legitimate shots are San Diego, the Ravens, and the third team we were just talking about.
Miami. And correct me if I'm wrong. I think if Miami wins out and the Ravens win out, Miami would get that last spot, right? Or would they finish with the same record?
I think it's let me make sure I'm right here. Look at the schedule.
Are you getting your stats from a newspaper or what? I mean,
yeah, I'm right here. I'm on the internet, man. I moved into a new age, man.
Well, you must be on 2G because this is taking forever.
It's not moving fast. I don't know why my internet's not moving fast. It's not moving fast.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Mike's going to look these things up because I can't wait for him. And then when we get back from the break, we're going to let you know who won the pick'em last week. And we'll kind of wrap NFL and go through our picks, and then we'll talk a little bit about next week. So come back. We'll finish up NFL, and we'll talk to you then.
Should be playing, but it's not. Anyway, it's not moving quickly.
You want me to come back home?
Hey, no.
All right, I was wrong. I can't even get us to take a break.
Would you want to go to lunch? I'm having a stroke. Did you hear what I said? I'm having a stroke. Why aren't you answering me? I'm having a stroke.
Yeah, we're on.
What is with your face?
I'm having a little trouble with my computer right now.
Something wrong? I'm having a stroke.
Break.
Are you having an allergic reaction? I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST. F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T.
I'm a champion. Realize check mechanism.
I should kill a meal for rat. It's not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat, and apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Everybody get up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm failing miserably over here, but we're back. We're going to give you the results of the Big Mike C. Miller challenge, $100 challenge for this week. So far, after all the stuff I talked last week, I am not doing so well. C. Miller, you have the results in your hands. Let the fans know how poorly I did.
I do, and what am I, about a fourth of the way to my 100, so... last week we had 16 games, did them all. 8-6-2 was my record. 2 games above 500. Mike came in at 6-8-2. 2 games below 500, and Vegas got 2 pushes last week, which is a little bit rare. You had Arizona push, and you had Carolina and the Jets push. So, good week. I lost my last two. I had Cincinnati on Sunday night and Detroit on Monday night, and I lost both of those. We're all looking at a 10-win. A 10-win week. I was really ready to come in and brag if I could get 10, but I'll take 8-6-2 and off and running. But you know, with 2 more weeks, and then we're going to go first 2 rounds of the playoffs. Is that correct?
First 2 rounds sound good.
First 2 rounds for the playoffs. So by no means am I out of the woods, but I like what I did. We both had San Diego. We both had Washington. We both had San Francisco. And I think that's those were the three that we were consensus on that were winners. Somehow, inexplicably, unexpectedly, Mike took the New York Giants +7. Can't figure that one out because there was no reason to think they were going to cover the spread last week.
Can I explain myself?
I think my worst pick of the week is I took Houston plus +5 going into Indianapolis, and they laid almost as big an egg. They may not win again this year. I thought maybe we'll wait till they're coming back. They can maybe rush the passer, but it looks like both those teams have melded in.
I think any team with Wade Phillips as a coach is gonna mail it in.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's a defensive guy. I don't know.
He's bad at Dallas. He's bad at Buffalo. He's bad at San Diego. He's not good. He wouldn't be my interim coach.
I hear you. He just had experience, so they had to go with him because he had to get the other guy out of there. But first week off and running, we'll see. We'll end up seeing what happens. I guess for you with the games against the spread, I don't even know what I was gonna say. I was kind of gonna lead you into the San Diego to Denver discussion, but we kind of already went over that. I guess maybe to round out our NFL stuff. Oh,
let me just explain myself a little bit on the Giants. I feel I need to explain myself. You're right, because that is a horrible pick. It was the last one I picked. I was flip-flopping. My thought was, and this is what happens when you watch too much TV. You start listening to people talking about, like, oh, the Giants are playing for, Coughlin's job, and they love him so much. You start hearing that crap, and you figure they're going to come out and play hard. And they did the exact opposite of that. I was telling Chris off-air how Coughlin in his press conference even said he knows there was guys who didn't play hard and laid down. And I thought they played harder than that. Eli threw 5 picks. He looks horrible. The team looks horrible. I feel like the Seahawks could have won 100-0. Just horrible. So great prognosticators like myself to make a bad pick every once in a while. So there you go.
All right. That's we'll see if you can come back next week. Do you know if there's a Thursday game this week?
I think there's not. There's not.
There's not one, no. Okay. So we'll get to business next weekend, and we'll be in with the week 2 results, which I expect more of the same. So.
No, I mean, I'll be back. I mean, we all know, maybe you don't all know, Mr. Miller knows that when it comes to picking games, man, I might have a bad week here or there, but I'm pretty good at this, so we'll be fine.
All right, well, I'll play that line next week when I put it on 2 weeks in a row. Did you happen to see that thing in Seattle where they had a car dealership that ended up having to give away $450 in cash?
No.
They did a promotion where they were going to pay out if you bought a new car. They had a raffle, and if you bought a new car, you received 100 entries into the raffle. And if you didn't buy a car, you could get one for a test drive. So that was how they set it up. It actually got done a week late. It was supposed to be done for the Seattle and San Fran, which was a little bit better opponent. But it was a raffle if the Giants shut out, or not the Giants, if Seattle shut out the Giants, then all that money was going to be given away. And I read a little article about it, people on the edge of their seats with New York could have kicked a field goal at some point in that game, and they opted not to do so. So, $450,000 got paid out to the Seattle car dealership. So.
Well, good for the people, man. I'm a man of the people. I like to see people get paid. So.
Hey, yeah, and I like people taking risks and in their raffles and doing things like that. So I thought that was kind of a cool story.
That is a cool story.
And even the dealership, they didn't even lose out on that one because I think they had an insurance policy anyway. I'm sure they did. So, not even a big deal. But. Going forward, last 2 weeks in the NFL, I'm not as excited as I was a week ago. My fantasy hopes came to an end this week.
Are we redoing your power rankings real quick, or want to save that?
You know what? Because I think we're going to be off the air for 2 weeks, and then that'll take us into the playoffs. So I guess we should do one last power rankings before the playoffs get set. All right, mine. I'm going Seattle on top. I don't think I'm going 1-5 this week rather than 5-1. I think Seattle stayed on top. They're looking like a Super Bowl contender. You're gonna have to come through Seattle, and I think they're gonna be. I think they're up on top. Number 2. I got to be moving into number 2, San Fran. I got them ahead of the Saints right now, even though they're gonna have to probably go play on the road. I think San Fran's gonna play Seattle for a third time. They beat 1-1. I think that'll make for a good NFC championship game. So I got San Fran at 2. I'm going to put Denver at three. Everybody kind of knows I'm not a Denver fan, and I think Denver has a chance to lose that cold weather Super Bowl at home. I definitely don't think they're beatable, but just as far as, you know, week, the end of week 16 goes, or the end of week 15, I just have Denver at three. I know they had a tough loss to San Diego, but I still think, you know, you just don't want to see Denver in the playoffs. So I got them third. My second best team in the AFC is going to come in at fourth, and that's Cincinnati.
Wow. You riding that train all the way out?
Yeah, I'm not trying to be too reactive to 1 week. I just don't think that game meant a lot. And I don't think it's the most mentally strong team, but I think there's a lot of talent there. I think they have pieces. I think they're good on the offensive and defensive line. I think they're a good football team. I think they're gonna win at least one playoff game. And if not two, and so that's the way I see that. I really do. I think if New England ends up with a 2 seed in the AFC, I just think they're very beatable. Tom Brady's really been an MVP candidate. I think he's done so much. No Welker, no Woodhead, no Gronkowski, no Hernandez. And he's still winning games. But if you look at these Patriot games, regardless of opponent, Texans, Cleveland, I mean, those teams are playing themselves right down to the end, and I think that's a sign of things to come. I don't think New England's going to make a great showing in the playoffs. So New England doesn't make my top five. And then coming in at five, I'm going to put the Saints. I'm going to put the Saints on a slight nod over the Panthers for my 15. I think they're going to end up pulling that division out somehow, some way, and getting some home playoff games. And I think they're my fifth team. But I have San Francisco beating them in the second round. So that's my top five. I got Carolina on the outside looking in, and I got New England on the outside looking in. So what do you got for me?
All right, I'll go one, Seahawks. We both agree with that. Two, as much as I'm not a Denver fan either, I'm going to put Denver at two just because I think they're beatable as well, but they're probably the class of the AFC right now, like you said, with the Patriots being what they are. And the NFC is just so much – the football in the NFC is just so much better, but I'll give it to Denver just because they are – killing the AFC, even though like there's not much competition in that conference. Three, San Fran. They're starting at, like you said, defense this time of year. Kind of saw last night with the Ravens defense and not turning the ball up this time of year. That's the formula for winning. And so I like them. Four, you know, I am, as much as I don't, I'm not a Tom Brady fan. Tom Brady will find a way. I'll put them at four.
Stephen Andrews.
He'll find a way. They'll be in the AFC Championship game against Denver. He'll find a way. And five, I'm actually going to move the Panthers into five. That's kind of my call off of the Panthers. If they beat the Saints, are coming to their place. If they beat the Saints at their place this week, they're in the driver's seat for that division. And I'd like to see them do it. So I'm going to put them at five just kind of as a little call out to the Panthers that if this is the kind of game that if Cam is going to take the next step, he's got to win this one.
What about KC playing so well over the last 2 weeks?
I was actually going to say
– does that change anything for you?
Well, I was going to say honorable mention go to the Saints and to Kansas City. Granted, Kansas City is beating up on bad competition, but they look great. Offensively, they look great. Defensively, not so much. That offense, I mean, granted, I think they scored like four times on the same screen pass this week to Jamal Charles. But, you know, Alex Smith, and I said this a few weeks ago, you told me I was giving Alex Smith a little more pub than I should, but he looks better and better to me every week. I like him more and more every week.
Now, do you think we're being too reactive to New Orleans and the way that they played last week? I think you had them, correct me if I'm wrong, you either had them at 2 or 3 last week and they moved out of your top 5 this week. Is that too reactionary on the loss to the Rams?
It might be too reactionary, but I looked at it like this. That was we talked about how bad they are away from home. That was the one away game that they should have showed up in, I think. You're playing the Rams. You're still playing in a dome. You're not outdoors like – with Carolina right on your tail, you got to go out and win that game, or at least show a better effort than they did. They're down like 23-3 at one point in that game before they try to make a little comeback. So the mere fact that not only did they look bad in a game I thought they should have looked good in, I just think Carolina kind of – I think Carolina can overtake them. Maybe I am being a little too reactionary, but I don't know if you watched it in that game. But, yeah, it was almost like they didn't show up and they weren't ready to play. But, so maybe I'm being a little too reactionary, but, yeah, I felt they should have dropped out of my top five. But what do you think about Kansas City? Do you think Kansas City is, is this kind of ball, are they getting better? Are they a legitimate threat in the AFC, or are we just watching smoke and mirrors again?
Well, I don't know if it's smoke and mirrors. I think you got to be impressed with Andy Reid and Alex Smith. I think Andy Reid can coach a little bit. He can coach offense for sure. I got to stick to what I've seen earlier in the year. I just don't think that they're going to win in the playoffs. Really, is what it comes down to. I think it's a good team. Just don't think it's a great team. And then just really for reasons I've mentioned before, I just don't think they're better than these other teams that I have had on. It's really that simple. I think, like you said, it's kind of an honorable mention, Bill. So
who's the fourth seed? Who would they play first game? Is it Cincinnati? Who's the fourth seed?
Them and Indianapolis are kind of vying for that 3-4. So
KC's
looking at a matchup with Indy or Cincinnati.
I'll say right now, if they play Indy, they win that game. KC beats Indy. I don't know if they beat Cincinnati, but KC beats Indy. Depending on who the four turns out to be. What do you think?
The way that's shaping up, I would agree with you. But also, I mean, then you start going into home field advantage. That starts to matter in the playoffs a little bit, so. Can Alex Smith go on the road and win a playoff game?
He did it the year they made it to the NFC. Didn't they make the NFC Championship game that year?
They did, but he did not win a game on the road. Those were all home games.
Those were all home games.
That's right. So we'll see. That'll be an interesting thing. I think KC's opened a few eyes again, but I think you've seen what Denver does to that defense. So I think that'll happen.
Their defense. They gave up 30 points and went 31 points, I think. Winning against beating Oakland this week, so yeah, our defense isn't great, but we'll see. But I do give them honorable mention. They are playing pretty good football right now, and I think that given you have a few receivers, a few playmakers to that team next year, you might really have something.
And then looking ahead, and without cheating and getting to know your picks, I was going to ask you about a few games that we have coming up. I think I mentioned earlier in the show, we're going to take a couple weeks off for the Christmas break and the New Year's break, and then we'll be back with the playoff talk. So I want to get your opinion on some upcoming games. I know the game of the week next week, I think it got flexed in, was your Bears and Eagles. And I'll save you from having to predict that one because I already know where you're going there. But any chance the Cardinals can go into Seattle next week and win? I know they're going to have to – I mean, the Cardinals looked good for the last few weeks. There's no argument, even though there's some Cardinal hatred bias in this room. any chance they can shock the world and go into Seattle and win in a game that Seattle doesn't have to have?
I'm about to say, Seattle clinched?
They haven't clinched because if they lost two in a row, then they would be fall back. But they really could afford to lose one and still.
Then no. If Seattle had clinched already, then yeah. But I think Seattle's going to try to go ahead and clinch this week. And so, no, I don't think the Cardinals could – go in there and win that game.
And I've been impressed by it. I think Bruce Arians is in the conversation with Coach of the Year this year
definitely.
To turn the Cardinals around the way he has and really to have that offense playing the way that it is with a bad offensive line and, kind of an emergence of Larry Fitzgerald and really making Carson Palmer look good. I think the Cardinals have done some great things, but I feel the same way. I think they're going to come out and keep that game close for about half to three quarters, but I don't think that they can, in the end, I just don't think that they can pull it out. You know what? They missed the Honey Badger.
Yeah, they do. They do.
That show last week, the Honey Badger was good, man. He was probably your defensive rookie of the year had he been able to make it through the full season.
I mean, I can't think of another defensive rookie. I think he still is. A long ago from the Bills. Did they do it by conference? I don't know. But no, a long ago from the Bills, there was a talk about him. But, I think the Honey Badger is definitely your defensive rookie.
And you might be
right.
I was just thinking maybe if he only plays 13 games, then maybe
the shame is, if the Cardinals are still in, remember, they played for years in the NFC East. If the Cardinals are still in the NFC East, they're the class of that division. They just happen to play in a division where, they're the third-best team, unfortunately. And even, you put the Rams in a different division, they might win a few more games. That Rams defensive line is no joke. Quinn and Long naked after everybody. I actually really like the Rams, the direction they're going in with Fisher. So.
Yeah, you got to love that in the NFL. That division was clowned and 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I mean, people were just all over that division for not having talent and different things like that. Now people are talking best division in football. And, you know, the NFC East had three teams that were good that year, and now they're looking like they're going to have an 8-8 first-place finisher. So we're going to head on the schedule. That matchup we just talked about, Colts and Chiefs, that's a game next week. So we'll get to see an early preview of that.
Hey, where's that?
It's in Kansas City, so the Colts are going to have to go into Kansas City. And I'll what's your prediction on that spread? I took a look at it. What do you think that number is?
It's in Kansas City, you said?
Yeah.
Chiefs -5.
You were close. I would have thought that was a 3-point spread. It's Chiefs -6.5. So, give me the Colts in that one.
You take Colts plus?
Yeah, I'm taking Colts plus the number. Looking ahead 2 weeks, who you got winning that? It looks like it's going to end up being for the playoff spot. Who you got in that Philly Dallas in the last week?
Philly.
Come on, your mind hasn't changed. I mean,
if Tony Romo proves me wrong, yeah, any win or go home game, I'm taking the other team.
man, I'm down on both those teams, but yeah, I don't see. Let me check real quick and see who does Dallas have this week. Do you know? I got you. I got it pulled up.
Here. I'm about to say. I think your phone's moving fast.
They got the Redskins. I want to say Dallas is going to lose out, but I think Dallas can maybe get the Redskins next week and then set that up for the last week.
Speaking of the Redskins, real quick, the Kirk Cousins. If you're say the Texans, you got the first overall pick. Let's say you take Clowney. Do you trade your high number 2 pick for Kirk Cousins? He threw for 381 and 2 touchdowns.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't scouted Kirk Cousins, but no.
No? Okay.
Nah.
Do you think, because I really think this is Kirk Cousins, these 3 weeks are his audition tape. Is there anything about him you think, like, is there any team out there who, cause if you think about it.
Who's worked out as a second string quarterback that, I mean, I can think of names, Matt Flynn.
Matt Schaub.
Kevin Kolb.
Yeah.
Does that ever work out? Has there ever been someone waiting in the wings that was great? Do we have an example? I just don't go that route. I think you got to go through the draft.
I mean,
Cardinals have tried to do that for how long?
The only time that's worked is when Montana got hurt and Steve Young took over. He had waited in the wings for like 3 years, but that doesn't count.
There's no
Steve Young on anybody's bench right now.
Right, and Rodgers sat behind. But those are guys that were on that team that were drafted. I mean, I know Young was drafted by Tampa Bay. But,
yeah, but that's kind of how you did it back then, too. Like, it's different now. Like, back then, you let a guy sit for 2 or 3 years, and then he played. Now, if any team that traded for Kirk Cousins, they want him to play right away. So, no, I don't think that has worked, now I think about it. But just because it hasn't worked, you know how NFL GMs are. That doesn't mean they won't do it.
No, and I understand that. I just – I'm not giving up a first or second rounder for Kirk Cousins.
I wouldn't give a first.
Look at all this money Matt Flynn's made, and really, if you look at him, and I know he won a big game last week, but doesn't have a strong arm, doesn't – I mean, these guys aren't good. There's a reason they're back up.
I'm not disagreeing. However, you know –
and
he was taking
me wrong. Until there's one, I'm not doing it.
So you can't see anyone. I think a team's going to do it.
Probably a bad team, the Raiders.
All right.
I don't know.
Is real quick. I know this is Ray off subject, but just saying his name made me think of it. Is Clowney still first overall pick?
That's a tough question. He's had a down year. It'll be interesting to see what he does at the combine.
He'll probably do a little bit of his pro day. He's not going to do anything. He's the one of these guys going to show up to the combine and not work out. Like, why would he work out? Like, he could only ruin his draft stock by working out.
If I'm the Texans, I don't take him just because they already have I understand. Oh, you add another piece to that D-line, blah, blah, blah. But just because they have a good D-line already, I don't take them number one if I'm the Texans. That looks like who's going to get that pick. So.
All right.
I'm going to say no. If I'm the Texans, I mean, I know Teddy Bridgewater said he might come back, but come on, he's coming out.
Take Bridgewater number one overall?
I don't buy all these things. I think you got to go a quarterback. I think that's.
Well, I mean, okay. Think about this though.
Who got picked number one overall this year? What?
It was a tackle.
Central Michigan. What's his name? Eric Fisher.
Right.
I mean.
So you'd rather make.
You gotta go quarterback.
Think about this though.
If you don't have one.
Well, my thought process if I'm the Texans is more of what San Diego did years ago when they took Tomlinson first and then they waited to the top of the second round and took Breeze. I would go Clowney first, and then I'd get the best quarterback available at the top of second round. Because I don't think there's that much of a difference between Bridgewater and whoever's going to be available in the second round.
You might be right.
I'm not in anybody's draft room, but that's what I would do if I had that pick.
Or trade down.
Or trade down, yeah. And get a few more picks. But anyway, we kind of got off subject talking about the draft. We'll take a quick break. It's about 11 minutes of show left.
I was thinking we'd just go commercial free in honor of you not being able to play commercials. What do you think?
Yeah, all right. I'm done with that.
Hey, we don't need commercials.
We need commercials.
You guys have heard them all before. So.
They're all the same PSAs
week. We're going commercial free.
You don't want to hear the 50 Cent Hunger ad. You don't want to hear any of that. So.
Now, Mike said earlier that we weren't going to talk college football, but I got to talk a little bit. The big story right now, of course, the bowl games are getting ready to get started on Saturday, which I'm excited for. I'm a big college bowl guy. I like watching all these and then and doing different things. But the big story has been the Texas job. And right on cue, Vegas has dropped out today with the odds for the Texas job. Mike, you're a Texas insider. Tell me who the number one candidate for the Texas job is.
Ty Graham.
No, he is not. He is not even on the list.
I have no idea. Oh, that's what I heard today. It's Jim Harbaugh, right?
It is not Jim Harbaugh.
He won't take that job, but I heard they reached out to Harbaugh. I heard they reached out to Tomlin. None of those guys leaving the NFL for that job. So, is it a college guy?
It is a college guy. Give me one more guess
while
I pull these numbers up.
Is it a current head coach?
It is a current head coach.
I
was shocked by it, honestly. I don't know that you're going to get it. It was something that shocked me, and he's actually a 2-1 favorite. So, Vegas.
I don't know.
Charlie Strong.
Ah, I hadn't thought that. I will say this. I think Charlie Strong is a really good coach. He's obviously, he was the defensive coordinator for those Urban Meyer Florida teams that won championships. So, he's obviously good at his job. I don't know if he's the name you need at Texas. Does he need a bigger name than that at Texas?
I was shocked by that. And you know what? The next candidate is at 5-1. He's at 2-1. The next candidate is at 5-1. I think you need a bigger job.
Don't get me wrong. I like Charlie Strong.
Name.
Like, I think what he's done in Louisville, like the fact that he keeps Louisville relevant is pretty good. Considering I like him a lot. I just think you need a bigger name. If I'm Texas. I need a bigger name than Charlie Strong.
David Shaw?
I like David Shaw more than Charlie Strong. I like them both, but I like David Shaw more than
I like David Shaw for the NFL. I'd like to see him get the Lions job, honestly. He would be my first choice for the Lions job, but he came out today and said he doesn't want to coach in the NFL, but I think he should strike while the fire's hot and go to the NFL. So.
I mean, if you're not going to go to the NFL, then Texas is probably the best college job you can get.
I also heard, who do you think is the highest guy on the NFL? I guess you already mentioned Harbaugh. You thought he was the highest on the list for NFL guys that would maybe take that job?
I heard they reached out to Harbaugh and Tomlin. That's what I heard. I don't know how true that is, obviously, but I'm not a Texas insider, as I was said earlier. But
yeah, you're watching, obviously, just by what you're talking about, you're watching a lot of ESPN, but actually, the top NFL candidate for Texas, according to Las Vegas, and if you're putting money down, I mean, they're not gonna make too bad of a decision. The top NFL guy is Chip Kelly.
I did hear that actually. He won't leave after 1 year. What do you think? He won't leave.
If he can make more, why not?
I mean, because he still hasn't really proven. Like, I thought his whole thing was to prove that his style would work in the NFL, and he hasn't really proven that yet. So, like, he wouldn't leave before he proved it.
All right, I'm gonna read you. I'm gonna read you about the top five guys, and I'm gonna have you ask me to give you one that you think is gonna get it, and then I'll give you the one I think is gonna get it.
All right, let's hear it.
You got Charlie Strong at 2-1. You got Art Briles at 9-2. James Franklin, Vanderbilt head coach, at 5-1. Mike Gundy, the head coach at Oklahoma State, 7-1. Bill O'Brien, 10-1. Chip Kelly, 10-1. David Shaw, 10-1. Jim Mora, 10-1. Jimbo Fisher, 15-1. Harbaugh and Tomlin, 20-1.
Art Briles.
I'm going to go off the map and say Bill O'Brien takes that job. I think Bill O'Brien has the, he's, as far as knowledge, he definitely has what it takes. I don't know if he's what Texas wants as far as, a big name that really draws the headlines, but I think Steve Patterson's a guy where he comes from a business background, and, I think he's going to hire the guy that is going to do the best job. I think he's going to do the search that way. He's not going to hire the guy that gets the media headlines. I think they brought him in and they're paying him to find the head coach, and I think he's going to get somebody like a Matt Brown. Matt Brown didn't come in there with, he wasn't the best coach at that time, or, when he was hired, he wasn't, and the Texas job wasn't what it is now before Matt Brown was hired. I understand that as well. But I think he's going to get Bill O'Brien. I think Bill O'Brien can turn that around the quickest. I think he has the coaching acumen to do so.
I'll give you a quick stat that I actually heard the other day. Since Art Briles has taken over at Baylor and Texas has turned out the exact same amount of NFL players, and he hasn't had one single top 10 recruiting class, which means he's actually scouting. Like, he's actually sending guys out to scout and bring in blue-chip players, where Texas are just, I think if you give Art Briles the kind of players that Texas is getting, where he's scouting and coaching them up, if he can get the same kind of players that Texas is getting just off of being Texas, I think he can turn that program around tomorrow.
I like it. I like it.
That's why I like him. He's recruiting in Texas against these guys, and think of the receivers that Baylor's turned out the last few years. Whether you think RG3 is a real deal or not, he's turned out a Heisman winner in the last few years. Like, I think he's already in that area. I think he's primed for that job.
Right. He definitely knows how to recruit Texas. So, I think you're right. Hey, I can't argue that. I think that makes a lot of sense. So,
I like Bill O'Brien. I do think. The fact that he's kept Penn State above water with all those sanctions is amazing. But I just think because Art Briles is already in that area, I think he's perfect for that job. But we had about a little less than 5 minutes of show left. Mr. Miller said, we're going to be off for the next couple weeks. Christmas Eve is next Tuesday. So, spend the time with your family. New Year's Eve is the following Tuesday. So, there's a good chance by the time showtime rolls around, maybe I would have started drinking already, so maybe I won't be the best person to do a show. So with about 4 minutes left, you want to get into our rants? Let's get into our rants.
Yeah, let's get into our rants. Definitely have a good time on New Year's. Mike, for me, 2013 was a great year. A lot of good things happened to me. I'm always liked even years better, so I expect to even have a more lucky year in 2014. So. Definitely have your wallet ready to go in the new year. If you're ready to go, I'm going to let you start off and hit me with a little two-minute rant.
All right, my little two-minute rant is about the NFL again this week. I say it every week, but I'm going to say it in a different way. The last 2 weeks, even with snow, weather, and everything that's going on as far as the weather is concerned, we've had the two highest scoring weeks in NFL history the last 2 weeks. The two highest scoring weeks in NFL history. The last week, this past week, four teams scored over 30 points and lost. I've said this for the last few weeks. I'll say it again. I'll say it louder. I'll say it stronger. We've legislated defense completely out of the league. Only a few teams even worry about defense. Dallas defense is historically bad. And as historically bad as their defense is, they're still in line for a playoff spot. Granted, I think that when it comes down to the playoffs, Super Bowl, you're going to have a defense to win. But, like, I'm just amazed at how bad defenses are. I'm amazed at how bad games are called against the defense. Pass interference is a joke. It's not too much up to interpretation. Obviously, I used to be against this, but maybe we should start reviewing pass interference calls. I don't know what the answer is, but since I'm wearing an 85 Richard Bedell jersey, I miss defense in the NFL. I'd like it back, but I don't know what can be done at this point. The floor is yours, Mr. Miller.
Oh, man, I like it. You know what? We didn't talk off air or anything like that, but my rant was going in the same direction, and I'll kind of add a different little twist to it. I'm with you. The softening up of the game, the pass interference. And what's really what I noticed this week is, you know, I came home, I got off work, I had to work on Sunday. I got home for the 2:25 game. And I noticed that I watched a lot of that Dallas game. Man, the game is getting over almost at 6 o'clock. We're looking at games in the NFL almost near 4 hours. A lot of scoring in that game, a lot of penalties, a lot of reviews. 4 hours is too long for an NFL game. You know, I love NFL as much or more than most people out there. And, you know, I almost was, you know, many times in my life I thought, you know, damn, I can't get enough NFL. But 4 hours is too long. I don't want to watch a four-hour football game. And I think that goes with what Mike just got done telling you guys. There's too many penalties. They've softened up the game where you can't even touch a receiver. You touch a receiver past 5 yards and there's a penalty. And, you know, and then they start feeling bad. I noticed they, you know, pass interference, instead of calling a pass interference, they'll turn it into holding so it's not touched. Like, let these guys play a little bit. I mean, I love watching a college game in the secondary. You know, they let them get away with stuff and they let them play physical. And, you know, I understand all the lawsuits, and I understand $8 billion lawsuits and different things that the NFL is having to deal with, and I understand those things. They have to do stuff to protect themselves. But let them play. That's the end of my rant. Let them play.
The one thing I'll add on to that is if we've seen it in the past, in the 80s and the 90s, if you let them play, you let them be more physical, and you let them use their hands a little bit more, the offensive cream still rises to the top. Those 49er offenses were still scoring 35, 40 points, et cetera, even with the rules the way it was. So you'll still have good offense, even if you let the defenses play a little bit. So that being said, I'm glad we're kind of on the same page with that.
Yeah, the NFL is not the NBA. We don't need games over 40 points and all that. So come on, Roger, let them play.
All right. That being said. We're out. Like I already said, from my partner Steve Miller, Merry Christmas to all you guys. Happy New Year. We'll be back in 2014, ready to go with some good shows, good topics. It'll be playoff time, so we'll be ready to hit with a lot of good stuff. We'll be more prepared. I'll know how to work the switchboard a little bit better. And
I'll have $100 in my pocket from Big Mike. I'll have the playoffs wrapped up by then, so I'm excited. 2014. Get rested up and come see us next year.
All right. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We're out.